Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
You know, life is a series of decisions, and we can all look back and see wrong decisions. How would you like to look forward and guarantee yourself that the next great decisions you make are right? Well, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the Word of God with Dr. Paul Chappell and uncover life's greatest decisions. Stay with us. There really is something invaluable about a well-made decision. So often we make decisions by whim or by emotion or by our best educated guess. The fact is, life is filled with life-changing, altering decisions. Decisions that are like dominoes, that have consequences, that unfold to other decisions and other paths in life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell is going to examine with us life's greatest decisions. These are decisions that as you make them according to the Word and will of God, you'll look back on and have no regrets. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. You can join us every Monday through Friday right here for this Bible study. Before we join today's message, I do want to encourage you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org, especially if you'd like to subscribe to the Daily Devotional from Dr. Chappell, or if you'd like to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and take this program with you to listen to at your convenience. These resources and much, much more are all found at dailyintheword.org. But right now, let's open our Bibles. Today, we're looking at Genesis 12 as we discover deciding who to believe. Here's Paul Chappell.
Well, every single day we're faced with decisions, great and small. We have many things to decide upon in a 24-hour period. I read this past week in a newspaper that at Starbucks, you can now have coffee 19,000 different ways. And so to comprehend that and to somehow confound the problem of our decision-making, we come to Starbucks and we stand there with the paralysis of analysis, trying to figure out even what kind of coffee am I going to have today? And it just seems like the decisions multiply each and every day. As Americans, we are living in a season of decision, and we must choose the leadership for the next 4 years. And I'm praying that we'll continue to have godly leadership in our country. But these are important decisions that all of us must make. Now, the Bible is filled with many illustrations about people who had to make important decisions. And the scriptures are given for our instruction and our understanding in these areas. I think one of the most renowned choices that was ever made was the choice made by the men on either side of Jesus as he hung on the cross. Do you remember that? Do you remember the New Testament in Luke 23 and verse number 39? The Bible says that as Jesus hung on the cross, there were thieves on either side. One of the thieves looked at Jesus and he said, "If thou be the Christ, then save thyself and us." His choice regarding Jesus Christ was to deny that Jesus was the Christ. On the other hand, there was a thief on the other side who looked at Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." A simple choice, but an eternal choice. You see, all of us have been given the power of choice. But once we make the choice, then that choice has power over us. Learning to make decisions well, that's what we want to do in these next few months together. And I want to bring you this morning to the Garden of Eden, and I want to bring you to the first family and to the first recorded decision of consequence that every one of us need to understand. And I want you to realize that in this decision made by the federal heads of the human race, by Adam and Eve, the consequences would be ultimate upon the entire human race. And so let's notice in the Garden of Eden, God's relationship with Adam and Eve. In your notes this morning, you'll see, first of all, the design of a loving God. God creates Adam and Eve. He places them into the garden. He says to Adam in verse 15, I want you to dress this garden and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now here we see God's incredible love for his creation. He says, Adam, I want you to know I love you so much. I've created this for you. I've created you for my fellowship. I want you to have all the fruit in this garden. I want you to have it freely. I love fruit. I love apricots, pears, bananas, oranges, apples. I love all kinds of fruit. How many of you would like to have all that fruit freely? No Albertsons, no Stater Brothers. Just go get it. That's what he had. God said, now, Adam, this is my design. You can have all of this freely, but there's one tree I want you to stay away from. There's one commandment I'm going to give to you, and that is that of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not partake. Notice his prohibition of the tree of knowledge. Notice the prohibition of the tree of knowledge. God says, you can have all the other fruit, but you cannot have the tree of the knowledge of the good, of good and evil. Now, what was the purpose of this understanding between God and man? What was the purpose of this declaration that God was giving? Well, I believe when God said in verse 17 that thou shalt not eat of it, his purpose was to test man's fidelity to God. His purpose was to test man's faithfulness, Adam's response to God as his creator. It was a time to prove that Adam could be dependent upon a holy God. God had given to Adam a responsibility in Genesis 1:26. He said, Adam, you are going to have dominion over this earth. By the way, God has given you and given me responsibility, and we're to have dominion over various things that God has given to us. But we must always do that with this one thought in mind, that everything I possess and every responsibility I have comes from God, and I must always show my faithfulness to God in every decision that is made. And so God said, Adam, in order to keep you in that right relationship with me, I'm going to tell you that there's one tree you are not going to partake of. And by the way, let me just quickly insert that God is a sovereign God. He is the creator God of the universe, and he has the right to tell us what not to take and what we can have. We ought not to approach the Bible and think, well, I wonder what God's going to try to keep from me today, because, you know, Christians can't have fun. They can't get drunk and have hangovers and all that fun stuff like that. I wonder what God's going to make me do without if I really become a Christian. Listen, the devil oftentimes gets Christians thinking that way. Here we have all of the fruit that we can eat from freely. God says, I created you, I created Eve, I'm giving you all of these things. Here's something I don't want you to have. And the devil causes us to focus on that one thing that God says we should not do. Now, the purpose of the understanding was to discipline and to test Adam's fidelity toward God. But notice, secondly, the knowledge of the understanding. I want you to understand that this understanding between God and his creation was well understood. The Bible says in chapter 3 and verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, here we see that Eve had knowledge of God's commandment. Every once in a while, kids will get in trouble. They'll get a demerit. They'll get a detention. They'll get in trouble at school. And I've heard them say this dozens of times. They'll say, I didn't know you couldn't throw a rock at the kids on the playground. I didn't know you couldn't poke them with a pencil. I didn't know that. And it's as though you have to write all those things down in a rule book so that somebody can know it. Well, with this description that God gave to them, with this instruction that they were not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve could not say that they did not know. They did know. The Bible says that Eve repeated the instructions back to Satan. She knew exactly what was expected of her from God. And may I say today that men and women in America in 2004 know exactly what God is calling them to do. Though they may willfully choose to deny Him, they know there is a God calling out to them. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the Father is still asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of." Hear that phrase. For this, those people who scoff our faith and who scoff the biblical account of creation and who scoff the teaching of God's word, the Bible says they are willingly ignorant. They choose not to believe the word of God. They are willingly ignorant of it, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. You see, Adam and Eve knew what was right, but they had not made up their mind to obey God. Thus, they were easy prey for the devil. And may I say this morning that if you do not make up your mind, your unmade mind will unmake you. The very fact that you're open to considering what someone says that is opposed to the word of God is an indication that the devil, who is as a roaring lion looking for the little lambs lagging behind and questioning and wondering, he will devour you rather quickly. Make up your mind to obey God, you see. But Adam and Eve had not done that. And so the prohibition of the tree of knowledge was very clearly known to them. Notice, secondly, his punishment for those who partake. His punishment for those who partake. God says, "I have a punishment. I want you to be aware of it." He says this in verse number 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge," chapter 2, verse 17, "but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, there are a lot of different interpretations of Adam and Eve and how this all took place. One Sunday school teacher heard two brothers discussing it, a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old boy. And she went to the boys and said, "Boys, now, how did Adam and Eve die?" And the 4-year-old said, "They ate some bad fruit." Well, it's a little deeper than that. It's not about the fruit alone. It's about the disobedience to God in eating that fruit. And because they ate of that fruit, there began instantly the death of their lives. There began instantly the severancing of their body and soul, which were created by God to be eternally together. The Bible says that God breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul. God intended for their fellowship to be eternal and for them to be continuously in His image. But when sin came, death came at that very moment. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Adam and Eve, as the first man and woman, brought sin into the world. That's why we don't have to teach our children how to sin. How many parents understand what I'm talking about? Our children have a way of learning how to sin rather rapidly. They are in the nursery right now, biting and devouring one another. No one teaches them these things. They just pick it up from their human Adamic nature. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And that is why we must understand this morning, in our fallen condition, in the depravity of mankind, that every moment of a man's life may be considered an act of dying, until the soul and the body are separated. Why is this the case? It is the case because man, who was created in the image of God, who was created without sin, made a choice, made one of life's greatest decisions, made perhaps the greatest decision in the history of the human race, to deny the word of God, to obey the devil rather than to obey God. And because of that, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, we see this morning the design of a loving God. He says, "Adam and Eve, all of these trees, they're yours. All of this earth, it's yours. But as a part of my design, there's one tree I'm going to ask you not to partake of." God's design was clear. Notice, secondly, this morning, the deception of a lying devil. The deception of a lying devil. By the way, how many of you know the devil is a liar and the father of all lies? Let's see as he comes to Adam and Eve. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Here we see a serpent. Isn't this amazing? Some have said that the serpents in this time of history were somewhat appealing and interesting and beautiful, that there would not have been the normal fear factor that we would experience today. How many of you are like me? You hate snakes. How many of you believe the only good snake is a dead snake? Amen. I once was invited to go to do some marriage counseling for a couple here in Lancaster. And as I went into the home, I went into the living room, I said, what seems to be the problem? And the lady said, well, the problem is that my husband, he likes to catch Mojave green rattlesnakes out in the desert and bring them into our house, and it scares me to death, and I want him to get rid of the snakes, and he won't get rid of the snakes. And I said, well, were we talking about one or two, or what are we talking about? We went into the guest bedroom where there were probably 50 aquarium tanks filled with snakes. The guy was weird. He caught these snakes, he kept them in his house. How many of you know that's a sure prescription for marital difficulty? He had a choice to make, the snakes or his wife. And I'm not really sure what he did choose. I tried to help him, but most of us today do not feel that snakes are the type of a creature we'd like to have a little visit with. Maybe a dog, perhaps a cat, but not a snake. But the fact of the matter is, at this time, this snake was appealing as a creature, but even more than that, the thing we know from Scripture is that this serpent was literally Satan himself. The Bible says in Revelation 12, 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now let's learn some things about Satan this morning. First of all, he was very cunning. He was very cunning. The Bible says he comes in verse number 1 as a subtle creature. I wonder, have you ever had someone with cunningly devised fables pull you away and trick you? Have you ever had someone in a cunning manner deceive you? Our family a few weeks ago was on family vacation. We went to Tijuana. We just thought we'd go down and shop some and do some value bargain hunting. And as we were walking along the sidewalk, they had these little like wagon carts, and they had in the harness these burros that were painted with black stripes to look like a zebra. How many of you have ever seen these? You know what I'm talking about. I know this is kind of a higher-end tourist attraction. Not a lot of you have probably seen this, but it's you got to go down to Tijuana and see it sometime. And the idea was that you put your family on the cart, and this man will take a picture of your family with the burro painted like a zebra in Tijuana. And he had a camera that looked like it came over with Noah on the ark. It was an old, old camera. And literally the kind he got under the little thing like this to take the picture. And I asked him, I said, sir, let me ask you a question. I said, will this picture be a colored picture? Si, senor, get up on the wagon. So we got up on the wagon. He took the picture. We came back a little while later to get the picture. It was not a colored picture. I said, sir, you said this was a colored picture. It is a colored picture. It is black and white. Now, he had, in a very cunning way, got our family to take the picture. Now, I'm going to tell you, the devil's going to make you promises that he will never keep. He is a cunning, wicked devil. And he comes in a cunning way, and he begins by saying to Eve, yea, hath God said? He begins to question the eternal truth of God. 2 Corinthians 11:13 tells us how cunning the devil is. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it be no great thing if his ministers are transformed as ministers of righteousness. God says you need to be on guard, because even people who seem to be very religious and they know all about the Bible perhaps, and they seem to be religious, they can be transformed as satanic powers and beings into a false teacher or minister of light. And so as Christians today, we need great discernment, because the devil is very cunning, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your minds, listen, your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. God says even as Satan deceived Eve, he can deceive you as a Christian, as a child of God today. So we see that Satan was cunning. I want you to notice, secondly, Satan was questioning. He comes questioning. Now let me say, there's nothing wrong with a sincere-hearted question given towards a parent, given towards someone in authority. It is a sign of a healthy relationship when questions can be asked. But when the question is intended to undermine God's word, the question is not a good question. And Satan comes to question the word of God. Notice verse 1. He says, yea, hath God said? He is here questioning the word of God. He's carrying in the back of his tail a little sign that says, question authority. He's the inventor of that philosophy. And he says, you need to question God's authority. He questions the word of God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, listen to this, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It doesn't say some people might stop going to church a little bit, or some people might have some, you know, spiritual time of declension. It doesn't say that they will not be growing like they should. It says they will literally depart from the faith. Why? Because they will give heed to the seducing spirits. And you see, Satan has been questioning the truth of the Bible since the very beginning of time. Everything that is good and pure and doctrinally sound about this book, which would be everything in this book, is under attack by Satan today. Take the deity of Christ, the fact that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Colossians 2:9 says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That doctrine is under attack by the cults today. It is under attack by people who believe that an angel came to Joseph Smith, and that this angel said to Joseph Smith, we need to have a Latter-day Saints church, and in this church we're going to deny that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. By the way, we go back to 1 Corinthians, we're reminded that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. There ought to be a little clue here that a religion started by an angel of light with a false message should be rejected. Amen. Muhammad with his message. Muhammad's message, and in the book of Quran, it is clearly stated that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, and that furthermore, God never had a son. What is that? It is an attack of the devil on the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, yea, hath God said. He has been attacking this doctrine since the beginning of time. Everything that is precious and written in the Word of God. Marriage, the Bible says in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That's God's will, that we would love our wives, that we would not harbor bitterness. But the devil says, hey, you ought to be bitter. She's not meeting your needs. She's not doing what you expect her to do. Why, it's all right to go out and just have some other friends out in this area or that. It's all right to click on the internet and do such and so. Hath God really said that you have to love just your wife in that way? And everything that is pure and right about the Bible, then Satan will question that. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 9, that a Christian woman should dress herself in modest apparel. Satan says, ah, that's not true. That's prudish. That's Victorian. That's something of the past. Why? Go out and just be whatever you want to be. And everything in the Bible that is true and pure and lovely is under attack by Satan today. Hebrews 10 and verse 25, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. God says, I want my people to come and meet together and worship me at church. And the devil says, ah, where does it say you got to go 2 times a week? Why, we're in the day of grace. We can do whatever we want. Yay, hath God said. I think you're getting the idea. Every truth in the Word of God is under attack. He is a questioning devil. He questions the Word of God. He denies the Word of God. Notice in verse number 4, the Bible says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know what Satan is telling her? He's saying, hey, Eve, if you take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be just like God. You can become your own God.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell. He's been teaching a series entitled Life's Greatest Decisions. And I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org and find out about Pastor Chappell's newest book, Stewarding Life. If this series is resonating with you, Stewarding Life will help you take your limited resources and align them with eternal priorities. You're going to want to take a look at and enjoy reading Dr. Chappell's newest book, Stewarding Life. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that number is 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.